Okay, let's get started. Again, if you are having any problem with the audio, make sure to double check your computer speaker that it's turned on, or you can even call in by telephone. The telephone number is listed in the confirmation email that you received. But I hope now all of you can hear me. Welcome today to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program Spotlight on the Arctic. My name is Carlene Velez, and I am the Fulbright Outreach and Recruitment Specialist who will be talking with you today. I work at the Institute of International Education in Washington, D.C., and I am very excited to highlight awards and opportunities to the Arctic today. Before we begin, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the mission and history of the Fulbright Program. The Fulbright Program was established in 1946 by Congress, and it is the U.S. government's flagship international and educational exchange program. We're very excited that we're approaching our 75th anniversary of the program. The Fulbright Program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, funded by the U.S. government, and we work in partnerships with about 160 countries worldwide to offer opportunities for people like you to have the opportunity to teach, study, research abroad, and work with people from other countries. The primary goal of the Fulbright Program is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world. The Fulbright Program strives to make sure that the applicants represent the diversity of American culture. We really work hard to try to open up this program to people of all different backgrounds, including traditionally underrepresented audiences. We regularly visit minority-serving institutions, rural institutions, community colleges, R1 universities, and encourage people of all different backgrounds to consider the Fulbright program as an option. We really do want our representatives abroad to represent the diversity of American culture. Some of you in the audience might be wondering why Fulbright is the right option for you to do your Arctic-related research. Well, first, I can tell you that from the responses we get from alumni, they all say that Fulbright is transformational. The relationships that you foster through the Fulbright program are real and lasting. Additionally, by becoming a Fulbright scholar, you're able to expand your publishing network around the world. And especially with some of the Arctic opportunities, you'll see how this really is the essence of the award. Fulbright also allows you to become more multicultural in the classroom. You bring your experiences back with you, and they make their way into the classes that you teach and the interactions you have with your students. You basically end up serving as an ambassador for international exchange, moving on to encourage your students or maybe your postdocs to consider Fulbright as an opportunity. You also gain the professional recognition of being recognized and identified as a Fulbright scholar throughout your career. You join this vibrant alumni network, and you will often find yourself talking to people who had a Fulbright a number of years ago, and you have that instant connection in common. The next thing that makes Fulbright really unique is that it's very family friendly. About 60% of our awards provide dependent support, and dependent support usually comes in the form of either an additional airline ticket or two, possibly supplemental stipend if you have your benefits, your dependents with you, or K through 12 educational support. This does differ by the award, so you would need to refer to the award description for the actual details. But many Fulbrighter dependents go on to have international careers themselves. And then finally, Fulbright is a supportive program. Alumni are always willing to share their experiences, and then domestic and in-country staff provide assistance no matter what the circumstance is. A little bit about Fulbright by the numbers. Fulbright awards over 8,000 grants annually, and about 800 of those go to U.S. scholars and administrators. So for people listening in today, know that there are about 800 award opportunities available for you. There have been about 390,000 Fulbrighters who have participated in the program since its inception. The basic eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program is to have U.S. citizenship. Permanent residence does not suffice. Other than that, you need to have a degree and experience as required by the award, and I will tell you how to navigate and find that information. If you have any questions, you can review the policies that govern the Fulbright scholarship. Okay, now let's move into the awards about the Arctic, and I am going to start with an award that's offered every few years, and this just happens to be the year that we are featuring the Fulbright Arctic Initiative. So the Fulbright Arctic Initiative is a very unique award because it helps build research collaborations around the world. The countries who participate in the Fulbright Arctic Initiative are the United States, Canada, Denmark, including Greenland and the Faroe Islands, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Russia, and Sweden. The way that this particular award works is that there are three designated themes for the Arctic Initiative this year for the 2021-2022 academic year. The first theme is Arctic Security and Cooperation. The second theme is Arctic Infrastructure in a Changing Environment. And then the third theme is Community Dimensions of Health. You can read more about all of these themes on our website. But the way that this award works is that 4 to 5 U.S. scholars get chosen, and then there is at least one scholar chosen from each of the Arctic Council member states. And you build teams around these three themes. So for 18 months, beginning in the spring of 2021, you work on collaborative research together with the other scholars who are a member of your team. Most of your collaborations are virtual, and the actual exchange piece where you would go visit that member state that you're interacting with would be about 6 weeks to 3 months. And the way that this works is that this program seeks to support research that will inform policy and support a more secure and sustainable Arctic future. People who are eligible for this award include scholars, postdocs, and professionals. And with this 18-month award, you would actually receive one $40,000 stipend that would be used for all of your research funds, travel to the meetings, and your exchange abroad. However, once you are at one of the three meetings that is an in-person session held throughout this 18-month period, your meals and lodging would be covered separately. But the way that this works again is that you choose one of these themes that you would like to research with, and if you are chosen for this award, you would be put into a research group. So if you are interested in collaborative research with scholars around the world, then I would encourage you to pursue the Arctic Initiative further, and you can ask questions at arctic@iie.org. Okay, moving on, there are 4 countries who have listed in their award description that they are specifically seeking Arctic scholars. So let's start in Denmark. In Denmark, the award is called All Disciplines, and one of their key priorities is sustainability and the Arctic. This is a one-semester award, and they have 2 of them that they're offering. And you can either begin in September or February. It is a teaching research award, but you can actually choose the topic. So as opposed to the Arctic Initiative that has designated themes, the topics in Denmark are completely open, and they do include early career scholars. So even if you're at the postdoctoral level, this would be an appropriate award for you. I do want to mention that Denmark really is actively recruiting Arctic scholars, and so if you do have an interest in the Arctic, you might want to really look at the award to Denmark. Moving along, Finland has an award seeking solutions for global challenges. And in this award, a PhD is actually not required. Professionals are also welcome to apply for this award. The theme for Fulbright Finland is Together Shaping the Future. And they do have Arctic cooperation as one of these shared environmental themes in this award. So this award, Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges, is 2 to 6 months in length, and it does have the flex option, which allows you to make multiple shorter trips to Finland to conduct your research. This also allows for a professional project. So if you are, for example, a lawyer and you're not also an academic, you could propose a professional project through this award to Finland. They also have teaching research and teaching research combination as an option for this award. Moving on to Norway. Norway has the Fulbright Arctic Chair Award. And this is an award, even though it's the Arctic Chair, it really is open to all disciplines and not only the natural sciences. In Norway, especially in this Arctic Chair Award, they recognize the contributions of people from humanities and social science to the understanding of the Arctic. So if you are doing Arctic-related research in any discipline, I would encourage you to consider looking at the Fulbright Arctic Chair Awards. This is a teaching research combination award for one semester of 3 to 4 months. And with this particular award, the distinguished, the chair award, you generally need to be associate or full professor to be eligible for this award. In Iceland, they actually have 4 specific awards that are looking for Arctic scholars. These awards, especially the first two, are quite unique because of the collaborations they have with other entities in Iceland. So, for example, the first one, the Fulbright Ministry of Foreign Affairs Arctic Scholar. This is a teaching research award for one semester, 3 to 4 months, starting in either August or January. And with this one, you may affiliate with the University of Iceland Center for Arctic Policy Studies, the University of Akureyri, the Polar Law Program, etc. So they have a couple of very interesting polar programs, polar law programs you could affiliate with. They are seeking people in the fields of economics, environmental sciences, law, political science, public administration, public health, and sociology. The thing that makes this award unique is that you also have access to ministry officials, so you can have conversations and dialogue with people in the Icelandic government about some of the Arctic-related issues. Moving on, we have the Fulbright National Science Foundation Arctic Research Grants. This research grant can be 3 to 12 months, and there are actually 6 Arctic research grants. They have to be on any Arctic-related research, but again, you get to choose your own theme for this. They can start at any point from mid-August, but they must conclude by, they start mid-August 2021, and they have to conclude by mid-August 2022. So you have flexibility as far as when you can propose the start of your award. They're looking for people in both social and natural fields as they relate to the Arctic and the people living there. One unique aspect of this award is the partnership that they have with the NSF. So if you apply for this award, the Fulbright National Science Foundation Arctic Research Grant, you have the opportunity to build relationships with both the Fulbright program and the National Science Foundation and have your research abroad funded. So this is a really exciting award to consider. Moving on to the Polar Law Award. This is a teaching research award, also for 4 months or one semester, beginning in August or January. And this award is to work with Rachel Lorna Johnstone, who is an expert in Arctic governance. So if law is your discipline or even political science, that will also be considered by the award, please look at this teaching research award. There are certain courses that they would love to have guest lecturers come in at, so please refer to the award description for more details. And then the final award in Iceland that's specifically seeking an Arctic scholar is the Folkloristics Award. It is a teaching-only award that is for a semester, so it can start in either January or August, and you would work with Kristen Schramm, who is an active researcher in Arctic culture and representations in the north at the University of Iceland, Reykjavik. One other thing I would like to mention about not only these awards to Iceland, but all of the awards that is unique to Iceland, is that Iceland this year has the Bruce A. Fowler Mobility Fund. So if you are listening in and you have a disability, whether it be visible or invisible, they have an opportunity to receive additional funding in the amount of $2,000 to $9,000 that would provide assistance for your disability in Iceland to carry out your research. And I think that's a really wonderful opportunity. Okay, the other way to propose and do Arctic research is through what we call the All Disciplines Awards. So if you look at the Arctic Council member states, you can actually propose a very unique research project of your own to any of these states or, in fact, any country worldwide if you can relate it to the Arctic. But I wanted to highlight the awards to the Arctic Council member states. So first, Canada has an All Disciplines Award that is 4 to 9 months and also has the flex option. But they also have 15 other awards that you could actually propose an Arctic project through. In particular, they have some like the award in environmental studies or indigenous studies. And if that relates to your Arctic research, then Canada could be a really interesting place to go to pursue that. Moving on to Denmark. Denmark, again, this was the All Disciplines Award I featured above as well. It is 4 to 5 months, and they are specifically seeking Arctic scholars. Finland has a 4 to 9 month All Discipline Awards that also has the flex option. And just a reminder, the flex option allows you to make multiple shorter trips over a two-year period. And so if time is a consideration for you, you might want to look into these awards that do have a flex option. Finland also has some very unique sponsored awards that would allow you to propose a project in Arctic studies as well. Iceland has an All Disciplines Award that is for 3 to 5 months or one semester, again, leaving it open for you to propose a project of your choice. Norway has an All Disciplines Award for 3 to 9 months. Russia has one for 4 to 9 months. And Sweden has an All Disciplines Award for 3 to 6 months. So these awards that do go to the Arctic Council member states are another wonderful way to propose your research to a country that is interested in Arctic studies. Just to give you an idea of some successful past projects, I've highlighted a few here. So Canada, for example, there was a project funded, Rethinking Subarctic History. Finland had a project, a study of icebreaking infrastructure and management as they relate to the Arctic maritime safety. Iceland had a project, Arctic Sovereignty, Models for Independent Indigenous Polities. Norway funded a project, Planetary Astronomy in Arctic Norway, Observations of Asteroids with the EIS-CAT radar. Russia funded a project, Assessing Intermediaries of Arctic Energy in Russia, and Sweden funded a project, Transarctic Analysis of Aquatic Microbial Diversity. I found all of these successful past projects in the Fulbright Scholar Directory on the website cies.org. If you go to the Fulbright Scholar Directory and look at the advanced search options, I simply put Arctic in the project title box, and it returned all of the entries that had Arctic in the project title. This is a very short list of all of the Arctic projects that have been funded, so please consider looking through the Fulbright Scholar Directory to see more successful past projects in your discipline. Moving on to talk about the application itself. Here are the required application components. First, you need to start an online application form. And then the essence of the application is the 3 to 5 page project statement, outlining what it is you want to do, where you plan on doing it, why you need to be there, what methodology you're using, the impact of your award. And we do have project statement guidance on our website. Additionally, you need either a CV or resume, and then 2 letters of recommendation, in particular people who will be able to talk to your ability to complete and carry out your project. Some countries require a language proficiency report, and some require a letter of invitation, and you would need to upload those if they are required. In addition to that, if you are proposing an award that has teaching alone or teaching as one of the components, you would need to upload course outlines or syllabi, 2 to 3 of those with a 10-page maximum limit. And I want to let you know that you don't have to recreate these. You can use syllabi for current courses that you have that really highlight your ability to organize a course, structure a course, one that have maybe a syllabi from a course that has interesting assignments. If you are proposing a project that has research only or research as one of the components, you would need to also upload a bibliography. And the bibliography would be 3 pages of references indicating where your research would fit into your field. And this is especially helpful when the peer reviewers look at the applications. So the bibliography does not have to be your own work, so of course they can be included. It's more just an understanding of where your research would fit into the larger field. And then if you are applying as an artist or an architect journalist, you can also upload a portfolio. The project statement, as I stated earlier, is 3 to 5 pages. It focuses on what you plan to do, the specific courses you plan to teach if you're applying for a teaching award, and the goals of your research and your method. It's also important that you explain the anticipated impact of your award on your host, your home institution, and you. We like to see the impact all around. That's what makes the Fulbright program so successful. And then in the application form, there are some supplemental questions. For example, why Fulbright as a funding source? Why this country that you're applying to? How are you adaptable and how well do you deal with challenging situations? If you are applying for an award that has teaching as one of the components, then this 4th question will also appear. How will you adapt your materials to a host culture in 2,000 characters? Just so that you know how to understand the awards, the award description has 4 different tabs, and each tab has very unique information on it, all of which is important. So the award details will tell the start and stop time. It'll tell you what activities are acceptable. It might also tell you which host institution you can choose, because not all awards are open to all institutions. And it will give you the basic details of the award. If teaching is one of the components, it'll outline some of the teaching guidelines. The 2nd tab, the award requirements tab, this is where you will find out whether you need a letter of invitation or not, whether you need to have language skills or not, and whether you have to have a certain rank at your institution or teaching experience or not. So you will find all of those nuts and bolts requirements in that 2nd tab. The 3rd tab, the stipend and benefits tab, this is where you will understand what the stipend would be if you were to receive a Fulbright. It also highlights the family benefits that might be available to you with a particular award. And I do want to let you all know that the stipend and benefits are generally generous enough to cover your expenses while you are living overseas. It's not meant to be a salary replacement, but more of a stipend to cover your expenses abroad. So many faculty members do combine them with another funding source, for example, a sabbatical from their home institution or something else. And then the final tab is just the country area overview that situates this award in the region that it's within. To learn more, you can go to awards.cies.org to find all of the award descriptions. Now, in that award requirements tab, if a letter of invitation is required, this is a non-binding expression of interest from a proposed host abroad. So if it's required, it really is required. And this is the one piece of the application that can get submitted after the application deadline. So you do have until October 15th to secure a letter of invitation this year, but the rest of your application must be submitted by the September 15th deadline. The invitation should come from the person with whom you're collaborating, and it should be on host institution letterhead. And please know if you are applying to a specific award at a specific university in a specific department, that department is actually able to issue multiple letters of invitation to anyone they would be interested in receiving. And so please know that some departments will be doing that. Your letter of invitation, even if it's you're trying to secure it later on in the cycle, won't be any more or less competitive than someone who received it a couple months ago. They will all be equally considered. Finally, I do want to encourage you to stay connected with us through the Fulbright Scholar Program. If you have questions, you could email the contact in the award description or email us at scholars@iie.org. Okay, I made it 2 minutes before my proposed time of trying to finish at 2:30 because I like to leave the second half of the presentation open to your questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the questions and answer some of them for you right now. And if you have any other questions that come up as I'm talking, please don't hesitate to reach out and put them in the chat box, and I will do my best to answer them. Okay. So starting here, I have someone who is interested in the Arctic Initiative, and if the candidate is also applying to a fully funded PhD position and is selected for the Arctic Fulbright, can they receive funding for the Fulbright and PhD research? Okay, so while the Fulbright program does welcome and even encourages applications from postdocs, the Fulbright Arctic Initiative and any of the Fulbright awards can actually not be used to fund any type of PhD research, master's research, any type of research before the PhD is awarded. And so if you are applying, you're in a PhD program and you're currently conducting research that is related to the Arctic, I would encourage you to look at the Fulbright U.S. student program to see if there are opportunities there. But for people on the line who might be PhD or postdocs themselves or faculty members who are working with postdocs, please send them our way as well. Okay, someone said that they're curious about why Sweden was not offered as a host institution representing an Arctic theme. You know, each country writes their own award descriptions, and even if Sweden is one of the Arctic Council member states and they are interested in Arctic research, they may just choose to have their award open to all disciplines and not specifically list any theme that they prefer. It doesn't mean that they're not open. They absolutely are open to people. It's just that they all write them a little bit differently. Okay, I have another question. I'm a community college instructor and interested in doing teaching only appointment in one of these countries. Would I have any chance? How would you approach this? Thank you very much for asking this question, because community college faculty members are absolutely welcome into the Fulbright program. And as you indicated in your question, applying for a teaching only award is generally where we find these applicants to be the strongest. And so I would encourage you to look at the project statement guidance video. Whatever it is you teach as your specialty at the community college, you really do want to highlight your ability to be able to promote mutual understanding through the dissemination of information that falls within your specialty area, especially if it's related to the Arctic for these specific awards right here. But I also want to encourage you, especially as a community college member, if you're having a difficult time trying to figure out positioning, how you can make your application the strongest, not only for you, but any members on the phone call right now, this webinar, please know that every week we host office hours, and that is a great way to come and listen to questions that other people have and ask questions yourself about positioning or eligibility. So I would encourage you, if you're looking at the award, for example, to Norway, come to the Europe Eurasia office hours and ask those questions, because we can help you. We do have a staff around to provide support to help you through the application process. Okay, so someone said, in the past, the Arctic Initiative has been a separate application from the U.S. Scholar application. It seems this year there is only one application that can be made for either the U.S. Scholar or the Arctic Initiative. In fact, this is true. The Arctic Initiative initially had an earlier deadline, and the decisions would have been made by now. However, because of the global pandemic, we had to push the deadline out a bit to allow the scholars who were converting all of their classes to an online medium to have a little bit of extra time to put together their application. So for this particular year, you are allowed to apply to only one award, and that award does need to either be the Arctic Initiative Award, or it could be the U.S. Scholar Award. But overall, you're only able to apply for one award per competition. Okay, I have a really great question. How does one go about finding host collaborators in foreign countries? Is there a list? I'm particularly interested in Iceland. Okay, so the best way to do that is to go to the Fulbright Scholar Directory. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull it up right here. Give me a second. Okay, so you should all see our main webpage, which is CIES.org. So right here on that main page, you can see View the Fulbright Scholar Directory. And if I click on the Fulbright Scholar Directory, and I've referred to this before as far as like putting Arctic in the project, I would choose the program country, Iceland, and then when you hit the search button, what it does is it provides all the scholars who went to Iceland or came from Iceland. So if it has this designation right here, non-U.S. visiting scholar, these are people who've actually benefited from the Fulbright program and might be interested in either hosting you or possibly putting you in touch with some of their colleagues in Iceland. If you see someone who is a part of the U.S. Scholar Program and they're in anthropology and you're also in anthropology, you could click on this information, find out what university this person is a member of, where they did their research, and possibly reach out to them to see if they have any contacts at that host institution who might be able to talk with you. When you are reaching out to contacts abroad, we generally recommend that you give them maybe a short paragraph summary about what it is you might like to do on your Fulbright and then send them your CV and maybe indicate why you are drawn to their institution. Do they have a specific program, focus, or something like that that makes you feel like you would be a good match with that program? Now, if all else fails with the Fulbright Scholar Directory, go back over to the awards catalog, because if you search for awards in Iceland, let's see, sorry, my meeting control, you guys can't see it, but it's blocking my view here. Okay, here we go, Iceland. If you search for awards to Iceland, and let's say you have a unique Arctic award that falls in this all disciplines category, if you click on this second tab, the awards requirement tab, they actually have a contact for the Fulbright Commission in Iceland. So you can actually email this contact. Again, give them a paragraph about what you might like to do, where you are trying to seek or find contacts, and send them your CV, and they can actually also help put you in touch with people. So those are the two tools that I always point out to people. First, the Fulbright Scholar Directory, and second, that second tab, the awards requirements. Oftentimes, if there is a contact locally, they will be listed there in that award requirements tab. Okay, let me go back over to my presentation and answer some more questions. And please keep the questions going. These are all really great questions. Can a non-academic institution be a hosting institution such as the Arctic Economic Council? This is a great question that would depend on where it is you are applying for an award. So I'm going to go back over to the award description. And if you look at this first tab, the award details tab, in this award, if I stay with this all disciplines award to Iceland, it says the location is any of the universities in Iceland. So in that case, that other institution, the public institution, would not be an acceptable location. However, if I went to the awards in, for example, Denmark, and I looked at the All Disciplines Award, it said institutions can be found all over Denmark. For guidance, look at this website. And so you would look, what are those institutions? Do they include public institutions or research centers or think tanks? So the answer to that question really would depend on which award specifically you are considering applying to and what is explicitly listed in this location section on the award description. So I encourage you to really look very carefully at the award description, because even when you write into us, that is one of the primary ways that we answer your questions. Okay, there's another one about our academic industry government partnerships allowed. That would depend on the award description. But if you are having a hard time understanding the award description, some of them, I have to say, are written a little bit more clearly than others because we do partner with all of these countries around the world. Feel free to join an office hour and tell us exactly the award that you're working with, and we can help you interpret the information in the award description. Are there programs or countries that are better suited for science research possibilities? We are welcoming scientists around the world. Scientists really are in high demand in the Fulbright program. You'll see that a lot of the program are open to people in the sciences. So the better question might be where you think you would like to conduct your research, because my guess is that most people will be open to science research. There are a few ways that you can try to determine whether you are a good fit for the award and whether they are open to science. If you go back over to the awards catalog and you see this area here on the left, I'm going to take away Denmark. And I am going to look over here in discipline. You would probably want to put your specific scientific discipline. So, for example, astronomy, biology, and environmental sciences. If I just pick those three science disciplines, you can see that there are 107 awards that were returned that are specifically looking for people in those science disciplines. Some of them, for example, Argentina Science and Technology is very explicit. They really are recruiting only the science people. Some of them, for example, Algeria, they might be open to all disciplines but have a preference for people in the sciences. So this is the best way to go about finding those countries that are interested in sciences, and you would need to go a little bit further into the award description to understand why. Because if you look at this one, the Distinguished Chair Award in Applied Public Policy, Democratic Resilience in Australia, it might not be very clear why it came up when you were searching by science. But then if you look through in the disciplines, you can see that environmental sciences is an option, most likely as it relates to public policy. So that would be the way that I would recommend going about the answering that question about which countries are more open to people in the sciences. And again, if you're trying to decide between a couple awards, that's the perfect thing to come to office hours to discuss with us further or send an email in. And I do want to point out in the award description in the lower right side, you can see the point person for this award. In this case, this is me. And then an email address that you can use to reach out and get your questions answered. You can also click on this button to join an office hour, and we will answer your questions at that point. Okay, now there's another one. The Fulbright Arctic Initiative chair from Norway is actually, hold on for a second. This is a long question right here. Okay, so there was a question about the Fulbright and their response to COVID. And so I do want to let you know you can look at our website for the latest updates on COVID as it's related to the Fulbright program. We do follow Department of State guidelines for the Fulbright program, and we do our best to try to communicate as clearly as possible to all applicants. Okay, so then there is another question. Should the letters be from people in your own field, or would letters from former Fulbrighters be better? That's actually a great question, and I think that the letters that are going to be the strongest are the ones that specifically come from people who are able to assess your ability to carry out the research project that you propose. So if you are proposing something in field X, whether or not that person that you're asking for a recommendation comes from that field, it really doesn't matter. It's more important that they talk about your ability as a scholar. The one thing regarding letters of recommendation that I do want to underscore is if you are applying for a teaching research award, it is really important that you do have someone, one of the recommenders at least, can talk about your ability as a teacher. Okay, so now the next question. I'm having a difficult time finding a collaborator at any university. My project is an Arctic governance. My project is an Arctic governance in tourism, but not law governance. How important is it to identify collaborators in a hosting institution? Does it make sense to ask a letter of invite from a non-academic institution? So this particular person who's having a hard time finding a collaborator is asking about awards to Finland. So the very first thing I would do is I would go over and I would try to redo my search criteria and look at the awards in Finland. Sorry about that. So over here, I see all of these awards to Finland, and there is the All Disciplines Award to Finland. But
your screen isn't changing.
Okay, can you see it now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I would go to the award to Finland, and I will pull up first the Seeking Solutions for Global Challenges Award. And in this particular award, if we look at the locations, this one says that it can be appropriate for a Finnish higher education institution, a research center or institution, or other applicable institution for your specific project. So if you're having a hard time finding a collaborator at a university, this particular award does allow you to branch out into those research centers or institutions if it is applicable to your project. However, if you are applying to the Finland All Disciplines Award, but you do have an Arctic project, and you scroll down, this one says that candidates are expected to secure affiliation with a Finnish institution and include the letter of invitation. So this one is a lot stricter as far as the types of institutions you can collaborate with. So the answer to that question would often depend specifically on the award description. You guys all have some really great questions, questions coming in right here. Okay, the next one. Where do we find out more information about when the office hours are being held? Okay, if we go over to back to that award description that I talked about, the one that we were talking about in all disciplines, all award descriptions link to the same place. So if you click on this Join an Office Hour button, it allows you to sign up for an office hour that is scheduled. So we have one office hour every day that is connected to a specific world region. So if you are applying to do Arctic research in Canada, you would attend this one, South and Central Asia and Western Hemisphere. If you are applying to the award in Finland, then you would sign up for the Europe, Your Asia office hour. When you click on this link, you just simply enter in your email address, your first and last name, and submit it, and then you'll get an email with the confirmation link to the office hours. And I would encourage you all to join us for office hours. It's one of the best ways to get your questions answered. Okay, so now there's another question that says, I plan to apply on a teaching-only award for 4 months. How many courses would my teaching load be? And I assume all courses would be face-to-face. Is it possible to teach online? Okay. So, again, that would depend on the award. I think you'll probably learn that by the end of this webinar, that it really does depend on the award. If I am over here in the award description, and let's say, for example, I'm going to start over searching all of the awards. I'm going to put Arctic as my keyword because I do want awards that are appropriate for people in the Arctic. And then for the activity, I am going to put teaching. So what I'm doing is I'm searching for awards that have Arctic as a keyword in the field of teaching. And I receive the following 4 awards in Iceland and in Finland. So if I am looking at teaching in Iceland, for example, it just says that the scholar will be expected to teach university courses, undergraduate or graduate. Generally, 2 full courses should be offered, or 1 course and shorter seminars or modules. And so right here, as much as possible, we encourage the countries when they're making their award description to very clearly define what the teaching obligations will be if you are applying for a teaching-only award. So in this case, if you're applying for teaching only, you would propose the 2 full courses. They might come back and ask you to teach something different. But in this particular award, if I look at the award requirements, it says a letter of invitation is preferred. So you can still submit your application even if you do not have a letter of invitation. But if you are able to secure a letter of invitation, then what I would encourage you to do is to work together with your host and let them know what courses you would like to teach related to the Arctic at their institution, and then try to get them to agree on different courses. And it's always advantageous if the agreement that you come to is written explicitly in the letter of invitation. We're excited to have Scholar X and Y or X and X come. This person will be teaching course X and course Y at our institution. This fits into our degree program, or something that gives a little bit of context about why those courses would really help the institution. So my answer to this, the short answer is, if you want to know what your teaching load is, it is generally provided in the award description. If it's not provided in the award description, then have a discussion with a potential host and try to come to an agreement that is equitable and include that in your letter of invitation, if at all possible. Okay, so there is a question about someone who is a joint researchers. So there are people, there's someone who wants to apply together, and one person is a green card holder. So for any green card holders, permanent residents, you are not able to apply for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. So if you do not have U.S. residency, you are not eligible for this particular program. You can, however, apply if you ever do get residency. You can immediately apply for the Fulbright Program. But if any of you have a research partner and you are thinking of applying together with your research partner, I would encourage you to make sure that each application is unique, because your application will not be assessed in collaboration with your research partner. It will be assessed for its own validity by your peer review committee. So it's very important that each person submits a very unique or independent application written by themselves so that you could be assessed properly. It is the case that research partners who submit applications, maybe one gets funded and the other doesn't, or maybe they both get funded, but it is important that you can receive a fair assessment on your own. Okay, so someone's asking, how does the NSF collaborative grants work? Are there funds for conducting research? Does this go through the Office of Polar Programs? Should we contact the program officer at NSF OPP to discuss the logistics? Okay, this question related to the NSF award in Iceland, I'm going to actually pull it up over here. And let's see, if I take off teaching, I bet I can get it on my little award right here. Okay, so let's look at this Fulbright NSF Foundation Arctic Research Grant. Down here, if you look at the bottom in the special features section, so again, it's the award details tab for the NSF Arctic Research Grant or any of the Iceland NSF sponsored awards. At the bottom, it talks about the nature of the partnership. So it just says, if the applicant has research costs that cannot reasonably be covered by the stipend, there may be a possibility to cover certain costs through the grant, or the applicant may apply separately to NSF for additional funding if needs are substantial. The grant is a great opportunity to work with both entities. So to understand that specific collaboration further, especially if you have very specific details, I would encourage you to click on this second tab, the Awards Requirement tab, scroll down and send that message to Fulbright Iceland, because they are the organization that has negotiated the agreement between Fulbright and NSF in Iceland. And so they will be in the best position to answer the technical questions related to funding. That was really a good question there. Okay, so someone wants to know if they can apply for multiple awards at the same time. And in short, that answer is no. You can only apply for one award per competition cycle. And if you are a PhD student on the call right now, there are going to be times when you're eligible for both a postdoc award through the scholar program and a study research award through the student program. Please know that you also can only apply for one award, so you would have to apply for either the study research award through the student program or the postdoc award through the scholar program, but you can only apply to one. Okay, next, if the invitation letter is optional and I do not submit it, would I really not be disadvantaged at all compared to an applicant who submits a letter? A lot of that, it's hard to say whether you would or would not. If it is optional, then we really do make sure that the review committee knows that it is an optional piece of the puzzle. The one advantage of having the letter is it just indicates a strong level of interest from the possible host abroad. And so that's, I think, a really positive thing to keep in mind, is that if you can secure the letter, it can only help to indicate the interest of the host. But please know that even if the host is interested, they are looking at the quality of your application. So what is it you're proposing to do? Is your timeline realistic? Does it seem like your project is feasible? Is it well thought out? Are your research questions clearly defined? You would need to look at all of those features. There is someone that says, are federal employees eligible? That would depend on the branch of the government that you are working for. So if you are working for the Department of State, have a family member who works for the Department of State, or are working on a program funded by the Department of State, you are not eligible. In all other situations, please email and we can help you confirm eligibility before you start your application. Okay, so then there is another question regarding the overlap between the PhD and the Arctic Fulbright. I'm applying to a fully funded PhD in Norway. I should apply to the Fulbright U.S. student application instead of the Arctic Initiative. Yes, because the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program does not provide any funding for graduate study or graduate research. That all takes place through the Fulbright U.S. student program. The Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is generally for professionals and then people with PhDs, though not always. There are often people with master's degrees who teach at community colleges who are very successful in the Fulbright program. But if you are looking for the opportunity to help fund your education or your graduate research, you would go to the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. And just be mindful that their deadline is in October, while the Fulbright U.S. Scholar deadline is in September, on September 15th. I want to thank you all for coming. I think I've gotten to the end of the questions. Thank you all for coming and joining today. It was a pleasure to have so many of you interested in Arctic research and teaching come online today for the presentation of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. I would really encourage you to join office hours as a way to get started. One other resource I will point out is if you go into the U.S. Scholar Program right here, the application materials are all clearly defined. And in particular, if you look at that project statement in the requirements link right here, there is a project statement guidance video that I think is extremely helpful when you're trying to craft your project statement. So I would really encourage you to look at this for guidance. If you have questions, come visit office hours or email the contact that is directly listed in the award description. I know it sometimes will seem very generic that you're emailing europeeurasia@iie.org, but we do this so that whether one of us is out or in webinars for the day or whatnot, that other people will be able to respond to those messages. So this is the best way to get in touch with us through what we call the regional inboxes, and then we can respond to you as quickly as we can. Thank you again, and we look forward to receiving your application. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and be safe and be well. Goodbye.